Now let's move to the other country, that's South African National Department of Tourism. Now, like other tourism boards, it also has responsibilities wherein the main aim is to attract more travelers, overall development of tourism. Now, the South African National Department of Tourism is responsible for the development of tourism sector and promotion of South Africa as a tourist destination locally and internationally. Now, we all know that South Africa is the image of South Africa is somewhere towards let's say attracting travelers who are more adventurous towards wildlife, etc. So, this is something which is the image which is being done. SA Tourism is the marketing agency responsible for taking the destination to market, whilst the department is focused on the development of an enabling environment through the development of appropriate policies. So there are two things that has been done. One is marketing, promoting South Africa as the destination, and the other one is making sure that the destination is matching up the marketing that it has been done. So what happens is, what the board is doing is, it is developing South Africa and making it more attractive for travelers from all over the world. And for that, various policies are taking place, various regulations. For example, if we are talking about policies and regulations, let's say certain laws which protect the environment of South Africa, which makes sure that it is more attractive to the people. Ensure that tourism as a sector delivers on government priorities on job creation, poverty alleviation, and increased contribution to the country's GDP. So South Africa has this as the main goals, which it is trying to achieve through tourism. So that is first thing, first and foremost thing, how the employment can be generated. Second is the poverty alleviation, how the poverty can be removed or decreased, and it has to be economical for the country. It has to give the finance to the country. Now let's check tourism. Malaysia, we all know that Malaysia is again the tourist hot spot. It is clearly the destination when people want to visit Southeast Asia. So there are many travelers who visit Malaysia. So what are the activities that of Tourism Malaysia? Tourism Malaysia is an agency under the Ministry of Tourism. Tourism Malaysia has grown by leaps and bounds with its focus on promoting Malaysia at the domestic and international levels. So, the aggressive marketing strategies undertaken by the board has clearly won over, and it has increased the influx of travelers to Malaysia. Its vision is to make the tourism industry a prime contributor to the socio-economic development of the nation. Now, when we concentrate on Malaysia, what the Malaysian government needs, what the Malaysian government wants, is to make sure that tourism is its main contributor for both the economic and both the social development. So, the steps are being taken, all the policies are taken to achieve this goal. Has helped to generate substantive foreign exchange earnings and employment. So clearly, the two goals which are directly affected by tourism, one the employment generation and the other one is the foreign exchange that the country earns. Tourism Malaysia now has 34 overseas and 11 marketing representative offices. So this is what we are talking about when we talk about aggressive marketing strategies. There are taglines which are created for Malaysia. There are bombarded advertisements across the world by various media usage, and all this has given lots of positive results for tourism industry in Malaysia. Now, those were the countries in the world. Let us concentrate on India and what India has done to market Indian destinations to the world. So we have Ministry of Tourism of India. These are the pictures which can give you idea about the diverse attractions in India that we have. Let's concentrate on Ministry of Tourism, India. MOT designs national policies for the development and promotion of tourism. Concentrate efforts are being made to promote new forms of tourism such as rural, cuisine, medical, and ecotourism. Now, as we know, there is diversity across India. Indian regions, different regions can offer different things for different kind of travelers. So in order to capture this, there are different divisions or sections under MOT which are focusing on such diverse fields. So what we are trying to do here is we are trying to create a niche market like rural tourism or cuisine tourism or ecotourism, medical tourism, wherein things can be concentrated and such travelers can be attracted to India. MOT also maintains the Incredible India campaign. Now, I'm sure you must have heard and seen Incredible India, the tagline, and the campaign which was started. It was one of the most aggressive marketing strategies that had been taken by Indian government for promoting tourism. Now, if you can go on the website of Incredible India, and you can see different wallpapers of India, wherein the I, as in India, the exclamatory, there are many wallpapers which are created with unique designs wherein the exclamation mark of that Incredible India comes up with different kinds of backdrops. So there is a background of, say, Rajasthan desert, there is a background of Taj Mahal, there is background of Qutub Minar, others. So that is something which was bombarded across and created the tagline Incredible India. So that is what the marketing strategy was. Its functions, that is the MOT's functions, consist of all policy matters like development policies. Now, when we are talking about development policies, we are talking about how to develop the present tourist attractions into much better, and how to develop the potential places and convert them into travel spots. Incentives, external assistance, manpower development, promotion and marketing, investment facilitations. Now, here again, we are talking about how the external forces, how the private and public sector can work together. We are talking about manpower development because tourism industry being the service sector provider, it is essential that there are many people who are involved in tourism industry. So we are talking about MOT also has a hand in developing this manpower, and of course the promotion and marketing. Now here are listed the MOT's other functions. Now let us check what are the functions under different sections or divisions which deal into specific work. Now first is the planning work that is there. Now the planning section or the division of MOT, what does that do? Coordination with other ministries, departments, state, union territories, government. Now, since MOT is working on a centralized way, that is suppose we are talking about MOT which is based at Delhi, and then there are certain policies or planning which are to be taken place at a state level, it needs to coordinate its work with the state government of that particular state. So here is where how the coordination comes up. Then again, there are different kinds of ministries which are involved. For example, if we are talking about developing a particular say tourist place at a state like Rajasthan, and there is a national highway or say suppose a road which has to be created to that particular place, the MOT needs to coordinate not only with the state government but also with other ministry which deals into construction of roads and other kinds of infrastructure which it has. So here is how the plans are implemented, what are the plans that need to be done, how the coordination work will be done. Next is the regulation work or the regulation. Here, this is the main work of this is to put forward certain regulations or laws or guidelines which can be universally applied across India. So there are certain standards and guidelines that people need to adhere to. Now, what are we talking about? We are talking about constituents of tourism industry as a whole. So let us say if we are talking about travel agents across India, there are certain standards that MOT is setting that the travel agents have to adhere to. There are certain guidelines that need to be followed by all the travel agents across India, or say hotels or anything else. So these are the regulations which are done. Infrastructure and product development, again the guidelines, MOT puts forward guidelines when we are talking about the development of infrastructure. So suppose if we are talking about say developing a particular hotel under ITDC or under the state tourism corporation, there will be certain guidelines as to where that particular hotel should be, how much it should be, what will be the services which are taking place under it. So all this will be there. Then again, when we are talking about product development, we are basically talking about tourism product, which is say a particular region or a space which can be promoted as a tourist attraction. So what it does is it puts forward guidelines. Next is the human resource development. A major work which is done by MOT is training its personnels. Now this can be on both skilled and unskilled level. Now when we are talking about training its HR, what are we talking about? The tourism industry, like we know, is a labor based industry. It has both skilled and unskilled laborers, and it requires them on a larger on a huge number. So there has to be institutes, there has to be a curriculum, there has to be educational guidelines which are going to create this well-trained, skilled and unskilled staff which can cater to the tourist needs. So institutes and setting standards and guidelines for such institutes will be also a part of MOT. Publicity and marketing. Now clearly promoting India on a global platform also comes up as a work of MOT. So here making policies, marketing strategies and coordination work, all of them comes under this this section, wherein they are dealing into how one is going to coordinate the entire marketing efforts of the Indian government so as to attract maximum influx of travelers. Now the next function that comes is research. So it's research analysis, monitoring and evaluation. So here are the three effects wherein we are talking about not only research, but we are talking about analyzation of that particular research. Then we are talking about monitoring and evaluation. So clearly when we talk about handling a research, suppose we are talking about say I want to develop a particular region to attract more and more tourists. All right, research has to be taken place on a grassroots level as to what will be the long term and the short term effects of that. After having the particular, after doing such research, data in hand needs to be analyzed. Okay, as to again what its effects will be, how and how can we handle, whether it is suitable for the Indian scenario or not. Further ahead, it needs to be monitored. That is, after the research is done, after the analysis is done, say suppose the plan is about to be implemented, it needs to be monitored. That is it going as per the plan? Is it the implementation of the plan as per the guidelines that are being set forward? So that is again monitoring. We need to monitor the different aspects of tourism industry and the overall evaluation. So have we achieved our goal? Have we, suppose if the plan was to develop a metropolitan city and advertise it and make sure that the tourism industry has developed in that city. So evaluation, we need to evaluate whether the policies and the steps which were taken, did they actually had a positive effect on the tourism? Did the actual number increase or not? So that's where evaluation comes up. Again, international cooperation and external assistance. Now here we are talking about how do we make sure that India is easily accessible by the international travelers. So international bodies will come in this picture. Bilateral agreements, external assistance, foreign technical collaboration. Now we might require external assistance wherein technical experts are there. There are project guides. For example, in India we have lots of architectural monuments. There are different kinds of expert panels which are outside India. They can be bought here and made to study such architecture, made sure that there are plans as to how to restore this monuments so as to preserve our cultural heritage, which can be useful for developing our tourism. Then again, when we are talking about bilateral agreements, to develop bilateral agreements, making sure that the movement of travelers is comfortable, convenient and involving less formalities, all this needs to be done. So here international cooperation and external assistance section deals into this function. Next is the legislature and parliamentary work. Any kind of thing which is which needs to be passed, implemented, or any kind of policy has to go through the rules of our constitution. So clearly, there is lot of work which is required. There is lots of rules which are passed needs to be sanctioned. So vigilance matters, implementation of official language policy, budget coordination. So again, of course, the money matter come into picture. And related matters, plan coordination and monitoring. So all this will come under here. So suppose if certain policies need to be passed and it has to be made into a law, there are certain taxation rules, either say relaxing the tax or imposing a tax has to be done with respect to the constituents of tourism industry. So the this is the work MOT will be doing under this section. Now we have the additional office of MOT, which is Directorate General of Tourism. This is another part of MOT, which comes under MOT as well. And there are different kinds of functions which are there. So coordinating the activities of field office offices and their supervision, this comes under directly under the Directorate General of Tourism. Regulation, here again how the licenses are there, what are the approval guidelines, which hotels should be what are the policies which are taking place over there. So here is approval and classification of hotels, restaurants, approval of travel agents, inbound tour operators, tourist transport operators, etc. So we clearly know that there are certain recognitions which are there. So it is Directorate General of Tourism which sets down certain strict guidelines or rules, and all this travel providers, service providers have to make sure that they are adhering to these rules, and there are inspections which are done, and licenses or grades, gradations are given on the basis of that. Inspection and quality control, like I said, guide services, complaints and redressal committee also comes under this. So here quality has to be, strict quality has to be adhered. So suppose if we are talking about the star system in India, that is the hotel star system, it is MOT which also is actively involved, wherein what are the steps in what are the steps or the rules, guidelines involving the gradation system of hotels. And again the complaints and redressal, there are the consumer complaints, how they can be solved, what are the legal issues under it. Infrastructure development, again part and parcel of tourism development, infrastructure needs to be developed. Release of incentives, tourist facilitation and information, field publicity, promotion, marketing, hospitality programs, conventions and conferences. These are the work areas wherein Directorate General of Tourism takes part, and the to achieve the overall goal of raising the tourism standards in India. So here one can see promotion and marketing is coming again and again. So that is one of the major roles of any of the development of tourism. Now after MOT and Directorate General of Tourism, which is a wing under that, let us see what do we mean by IATO. It's Indian Association of Tour Operators. Clearly by name, it is formed by tour operators in India. Now let us check the functions of IATO. IATO interacts closely with the government on all critical issues affecting the tourism industry in India. Now first of all, we need to understand who are the members of IATO. These are the travel operators which are there in India. So clearly we are talking about the trade issues of tourism, which will be the matter of focus here. So with the highest priority to tourism facilitation. Now it interacts closely with all government ministries, departments, chamber of commerce and industry and diplomatic missions. Now any kind of issue which is going to directly or indirectly affect the tour operators or the service providers inside India is going to be handled by IATO. It is on a national apex, it is considered to be the national apex body which is representing the travel provider services in India. So clearly, if there are certain issues which are stuck up between the government and the travel service providers, this is taken into hand. So it acts as a common medium So clearly it acts as a connecting point between this ministries or governments or the Chamber of Commerce and the industry people. So and represents the complete perspective or to both sides, synergizing their common agenda of tourism facilitation. So what needs to be done is, suppose there is certain law which is passed by the government and it is not not as per what the industry professionals want or need, there can be perspective difference between what the government has a perspective behind passing that particular law, or say it's something to do with the taxes, or it's something to do with strict standards. So here the industry professionals can give their perspectives, government can give their perspectives, and healthy opinions are created to make sure that overall tourism industry is positively affected by the decision that can be taken later. Now the other functions of IATO, and before that we can see what are the memberships. Now there are five different categories of membership of IATO: active, allied, associate, international and honorary. IATO's affairs are mainly managed by an executive committee which is elected by the active members only, and it is every 2 years. Now the executive committee, what does it do? It meets every month to discuss the current tourism industry and membership issues. Now there are many tourism industries which form part and parcel of the meetings here. There are many issues which are handled, opinions are made. There are experts, industry professionals who come and put forward their opinions. What can be done about those issues? How to come up with different strategies to solve those particular in issues, and again the implementation of that plan or strategies. So all this is done. Now under IATO, what they have, in order to make sure that the specific things are focused, there are 12 action committees which are formed. So every committee, if you can see, the Adventure Tourism Development Committee, it has a certain strict specific foci, that is it deals into the adventure tourism leg of tourism. Civil aviation, press and PR, domestic tourism development, grievances, guides coordination, host, hotel relations development, IATO news, wherein it is a platform for distributing the information in hand, legal affairs, insurance and consumers, privilege card development, railway coordination, dev committees, surface transportation development, and website development. So all of these committees are there with their own focus on the work which is assigned to each of them. So they are coordinating their work and achieving the goal of overall betterment of tourism industry in India. Now the next what we have is the great ITTC, that's India Tourism Development Corporation, our own national tourism organization, which is working actively for developing tourism industry in India. ITTC is one of the largest hospitality companies in India. The company has various divisions to cater to different needs of tourists as follows, that is the Ashok Travels and Tours, Ashok Groups of Hotels, Ashok International Trade Division, Ashok Creativity, Ashok Institute of Hospitality and Tourism Management, and Ashok Consultancy. So if you see, that's the brand name Ashok, alright. ATT Ashok Travels and Tours is one of the most largest travel operators in India. So all this are the divisions which are catering to tourism industry in India as such. Now what we have here is the Maharashtra Tourism Development Corporation, MTDC, which is the State Tourism Development Corporation of State of Maharashtra. Now Maharashtra being the place where Mumbai, the one of the major gateways to India lies, has a great potential, because it is here that maximum foreign travelers are coming, because of Mumbai being the hub. Alright, so converting these travelers who are just touching Mumbai and going to some other state is the major concern of Maharashtra. So because of Mumbai being the gateway, what can happen is there is lot of influx of tourists here. There are many people who will simply catch a connecting flight, say to Rajasthan or to Kerala. So Maharashtra or MTDC, what it can do is it can go ahead and concentrate on these numbers and make sure that it is converting this number into travelers or visitors who are going places inside Maharashtra. So let's see what it has under it. Maharashtra as a tourist destination, if we concentrate, it has a lot of things to offer. There is huge potential in Maharashtra as a state because it has the beaches, it has the mountains, it has the religious culture, it also has the wildlife sanctuaries which are there. So with the coastline again, so all these are attractions, natural attractions which are already present. The only thing that we need to do is to develop it to attract maximum travelers as possible. So Maharashtra is most visited state by foreign tourists as per the numbers that they say, and the fourth most visited state by the domestic tourists in the country in 2010. Now recently Aurangabad was declared as the tourism capital of Maharashtra. Clearly Aurangabad draws maximum numbers of visitors because of the Ajanta and Ellora tourist circuit near it. So it was that is how the naming of tourism capital of Maharashtra took place. Maharashtra offers adventure lovers over 45 adventures to choose from across its length and breadth. So when we are talking about adventures, we have the forts, the palaces, the wildlife sanctuaries. So all this is already there. So MTTT's most important function is to recognize this particular tourist attractions which are there, convert them into the ones which are going to attract maximum number of travelers here. Now it has these are the USBs that Maharashtra had. He has over 550 forts to visit, including over 20 sea forts across the coastline that we have. 720 kilometers of coastline, the incredible vistas of Western Ghats, which is recently supposedly the UNESCO, one of the UNESCO sites because of the breathtaking beauty, the natural species of plants and flowers that is there. Has superb wildlife camping possibilities. So these are yet to be tapped. Clearly there are many people who visit to the Western Ghats, but to bring Western Ghats on a platform, on a global platform, and attract the international travelers is yet to happen. So there are lots of possibilities, lots of potential that Maharashtra has. Many private and public organizations have been begin unique and innovative nature tourism. Some of them are Eco Mantra, Nature Trails, Wild Escapes, Orchid Group. Now these are the private companies which have come up with innovative thinkings. They have come up with nature trails, they have come up with adventure trips. They are the people who are providing river rafting across the rivers in Maharashtra. There are many camping trips which are there. So slowly but surely there are things which are beginning to develop in Maharashtra, wherein we can see the development happening at this rate. Now let us move to Jammu Kashmir Development Corporation. Now Jammu Kashmir has been always on the tourism map, drawing maximum of tourists over there because of the breathtaking beauty that it provides, a scenic beauty that is its own USB, and yet again it has its unique culture. Now Jammu Kashmir Tourism Development Corporation is the agency of government of Jammu and Kashmir interested with managing government hotels and catering establishments. So that is the main function of the tourism board. It was set up in 1970 and now has accommodation capacity of 2200 beds per day. The corporation runs 37 restaurants across the state. Now it this is what is the focus of Jammu Kashmir. Even today with the present scenario that Jammu Kashmir is in, it is attracting many travelers which even today opt for Jammu Kashmir as the ideal place to visit. What further does the development corporation does is that it works for promotion of tourism and providing best transport facilities to the tourist. So the marketing strategies are there wherein they are promoting Jammu Kashmir, how beautiful, how safe, how unique it is, and providing the transport facilities to help cater to the needs of tourists there. The aim of the corporation is to provide best possible services, facilities to the esteemed guests. The tourist facilities managed by the development corporation are all at the important tourist attractions in Jammu Kashmir. Now let us see the state of Kerala and how it has been developed. Now earlier, as we saw for Maharashtra, which has the potential and it's on the developmental route, Jammu Kashmir, which already has a maximum tourist attractions and development corporations which has worked for it. We have Kerala, which is supposedly the booming state. It attracts maximum not only the domestic travelers but also the international travelers. Here is what KTDC did was the aggressive marketing strategies that has been done by Kerala is in its own way a case study to study. Now, what are the activities of Kerala Tourist Development Corporation? Objectives: to promote Kerala as a leading tourist destination, to identify the key tourist destinations within Kerala and promote it outside, to provide auxiliary support in developing key tourist destinations. Now these are the functions which are taking place. First of all, to make sure that you by taking up the research to make sure which are the spots that can be developed into a tourist destination. After that, to promote those, especially in the overseas market. And the auxiliary support, that is the other industries which are supporting the main tourism industry, to provide highest quality of hospitality services to tourists. The data says that most of maximum number of travelers are going towards Kerala because of its uniqueness to offer the Kerala Ayurvedic packages which are there. The uniqueness of Kerala is more towards that. So clearly the quality has to be maintained. So all this is coming under Kerala Development Corporation. To act as one source destination for various information regarding tourist destinations and other related information. So this is here where they are providing information to potential travelers. So what happens is the Kerala as a product, when it is seen and where the information can clearly or easily be getting, then the travelers can come and visit Kerala. To ensure higher returns to government through financial and social viable projects and thereby provide employment. So there are twofold aim here. One, to make sure that the infrastructure is developed and because of which the overall development of the region is taking place. Apart from that, is it the employability factor that comes into place. So that is about Kerala Tourist Development Corporation. So in this session, what we have covered are the introduction of how the international and other organizations of tourism industry are. The international organizations which are promoting tourism promotion boards in prominent country, we have seen Dubai, Singapore, Malaysia, and then the tourism promotion organizations in India, wherein we studied about Maharashtra, Jammu Kashmir and Kerala as the state. Now this session has given the functions of different tourism organizations on both the global, national and regional levels. So that's the end of the session. I hope the session was helpful and it will make you better acquainted with the global organizations in tourism industry. Thank you.